interested to see with school going today how much the weather actually does affect this game. One, it's a little colder. It's a little colder than normal, but it actually is quite nice for, I'm just saying, for baseball players, it'll be a little chillier than they're used to coming off the summer. I also think, depending on how sunny it might be, some of the shadow stuff might work well in the favor of Skubal, given how ridiculously well he disguises his pitches. But with Nathan coming up, I did ask you guys, what did you learn with Sunday's win? Saturday's win for the Gardos and Sunday's loss for the Browns. I'm going to get to some of your responses here in a moment, but Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima take the show beyond the 6 to 10 a.m. window on Tuesday and Thursdays with their emerging podcast scene. Listen live on the 92.3 The Fan Extra channel on the free Odyssey app and 92.3thefan.com, presented by Extend Technologies, or check out every single archived episode. So, Nathan on Twitter, sent to @NickWilson, says, what I learned this weekend, one team has ignored what the critics have said about them. The other team is just leaning into what the critics are saying about them. So I'm assuming he's saying the Guardians have ignored the critics and the Browns have listened too much to the critics. I guess it depends on what we consider the critics to be. I guess I agree with the statement that the Guardians don't listen to the noise the same way that almost every other franchise in town does, almost to their detriment sometimes. I'll also just say, if anything, I wish the Guardians maybe gave us a little bit more of a taste of that clubhouse. If I had a complaint, I'd love to get to know these guys more than just on the team-friendly broadcast, but I understand that as a choice. Now, with the Browns, it does feel like the Browns are just constantly chasing their tails. It does. And what I learned this weekend was a culmination of what I've learned this year, which is I can't trust the Browns to play hard. Now, I know, because I've seen a lot of you on Nick Talk, and Nick Wilson says on Twitter. A few of you have talked to me on Facebook Messenger. When you guys have gotten at me, you're like, I'm done. I can't tell you not to be. I'm not. I don't have a choice. Not just because of the job. Something is irrevocably broken. There we go. Sounded like I was trying to drop a beat. That's what it sounded like right there. But no, something is broken within me that I will be watching every one of these games. It's not a professional thing. I will always be the person saying, I got another game to go. You only get so many Browns games in your life. I'm going to watch them, and then I'm going to be mad when I do watch them. But I understand if you've said, I think I'm just going to focus on the Guardians and the Cavs, and when the Browns are worth my while, I'll pay attention to them again. Because we have supported teams that aren't good. We have supported teams that have a bad head coach and good talent, or a good head coach and not enough talent. We've supported every iteration of the Cleveland Browns. But if they are not going to play hard, and when I say that, I'm not saying individually. I'm talking about playing together. The basic necessities of football. Playing hard. Playing together. Right? Communicating. Things that you and I have to do just to survive every day. If they just want to be highly paid, not questioned, hey, we're great no matter what the record says, I'm out. If that's your take, I really don't have a problem. I'm not there, but I get it. Here's what I learned about the Guardians. We can trust them in the postseason. That doesn't mean they're going to win every series. It doesn't mean they're going to win this series. But the biggest question is, how do you show up going up against the hottest team in baseball who's played much more recent than you, that has all this momentum? You have no momentum because you've sat on the sidelines for a full week, 6 days. How do you show up? And they showed up by Kwan and Fry getting on base, the little things starting to happen, and then Lane Thomas breaking the game open with a 3-run home run in the first inning. And off, by the way, they went to they bailed their starter after 4 hitters, specifically because it was the lefty-righty matchup that you don't want with Lane Thomas. And Lane Thomas, on a right-hander, said, nah, I'm still going to hit this thing out of the park. So I'm not saying that the Guardians are going to win every game, but that the things that translate into the postseason, which are playing hard, not playing scared, playing free, being aggressive, they did that. And I got to tell you guys, it is like, I love the messaging. And I don't know who did it first because I hadn't seen anybody do it when I sent it out. That does not mean I did it first, by the way. I'm not trying to first on the moon Neil Armstrong you here. But I remember tweeting out like, one win, 10 to go for the Guardians. And the truth is that Saturday win can be the start of that first real World Series run, or I guess technically the first World Series title since 1948. And I think if you've watched the rest of these playoffs, there are plenty of really good teams in the playoffs right now. There's not one Leviathan. There's not one team that is just unbeatable. The Yankees should be. The Yankees have every resource known to man, and they played the Royals down to the last minute in their game one. The Dodgers should be. They have every conceivable resource. Injuries have hit them a little bit. There's some other things going on there as well. But this year is absolutely wide open. And I've given Lane Thomas a kudo. And by the way, I can safely assure everyone I will not be saying Lemon Law Lane ever again. I dropped that in September when he heated up. But that three-run home run in the playoffs, if that's all he does, he paid dividends off that trade on top of the fact that you've got controlled ability on him after this year. Tanner Bibee went out there, and guys, he in no way was playing his best baseball on Saturday. He was effectively wild. He kept trying to get the fastball up in the zone, couldn't really locate it. You could tell he was frustrated, and yet all that guy did was battle on Saturday. And I'll be honest with you. I expect the stuff to play better. I expect him to lock in a little bit the more starts he gets because this dude's mentality is just a little different. You can just tell by the way he plays. So I think some of what he was doing on Saturday was just nerves and just kind of being fully charged. I actually expect him to get better from here. But to watch him battle and not give up any runs was fantastic. To see Stephen Vogt pick the exact right moment to pivot away from Tanner Bibee and then go to the bullpen. Another fantastic thing. And today, really, this game two of the ALDS against Detroit, 4-8 first pitch here, Matthew Boyd, versus Tarik Skubal. This is the game that decides whether this thing goes 3 or whether this thing goes 5. By the way, you can go 4 here, too, just so you know all the iterations. But that's what today is. And I think there's so many things we can kind of look for in the playoffs today. But I got to say, man, I'm seeing people talk about literally every single other team other than the Guardians. And I get it. Like, some of this is Cleveland. Some of this is, you know, we had Scott Braun on late last week, and he's like, yeah, I don't consider them a real contender because they don't spend enough to contend. Every time I hear somebody say that, so even when they do talk about the Guardians in the postseason, it is some sort of a slight on the organization instead of just like a job well done and, hey, there's some really good pieces here. It only makes me want it more. It really does. And so that today's opportunity is, if you are a good team or a great team, or if you are a World Series contending team, you did what you needed to in game one. There's not a lot to glean from game one. They kicked the holy crap out of them. Now it is, can you really surprise people? Because I don't know that Cleveland surprised Detroit. Like, I think Detroit knew that Cleveland was going to have the want factor. Game one, they hadn't played in a bit. You didn't have Skubal going. This is the game that can surprise people around baseball. Because in the one time you saw Skubal this year, you got 10 hits, but you only got one earned. And I'm going to guess that given how A.J. Hinch managed the Detroit Tigers in game one, managed them very tight. You could tell whether it was the fielding setup, whether it was the rotational setup, how quickly they went through their bullpen. You could tell that A.J. Hinch knew we don't have a lot of leeway here. And the second that they got down two runs, they hooked that starter four hitters in. They're going to have a much longer leash with Tarik Skubal today. But let me just say, if you can get to him early, if you can put pressure on him, I don't think we're really aware at where the hook is for Tarik Skubal today. Is it two runs? Is it three runs? At some point, are you looking for innings, right? Are you looking just to get the bulk of innings out there so you can serve your bullpen potentially for Wednesday? Getting to Skubal early, which I think actually probably means being aggressive, but maybe having a little bit more balanced approach, which, again, I think they did in game one. So not home run or bust, basically. I think those are the kind of things that you can make this a really interesting game. 216-474-0092. So I'm just wondering. I know it's one game, but did the game on Saturday, did it reaffirm your thoughts that the Guardians are a true World Series contender? Because I'll be honest with you guys, I loved what I saw in game one. Today is the kind of thing where you can anoint yourself a World Series contender. If you can either get to Skubal early and knock him out, if you can get three runs off this guy, if you can do the thing that nobody really does, it's not just that, I mean, Skubal does offer up some home runs, but he doesn't give up a lot of base runners. You've done that to him already. If you win today's game, it doesn't mean if you lose that I'm going to say you're not, but today's game is the kind of game that if you can kick them when they're down and steal this one, that's something that championship teams do all the time. And specifically, if you can do it with a guy in Matthew Boyd, who, guys, if you told me right now he'd go three innings of scoreless ball, I'd believe you. If you told me that you were going to have to give the old, Tony Horton hook there, the four batters and out, I would also believe you. This is not like, usually there's, oh, that guy's an ace and that guy's like a number two starter, or that guy's an ace and that guy's a number three starter. I don't know what to expect from Matthew Boyd in any way today. Not a knock of Matthew because he's a vet, and there's a great backstory with Boyd and Skubal, and, you know, apparently Boyd mentored Skubal when he was coming up through the Tigers organization. I don't really care about any of that crap today, but my point is, because I don't really know what you're going to do, and because I think Detroit knows that if you lose this game, the series is effectively over, this will be a battle of wills. And if the Guardians can do that, I think it sets up the idea that they can shock baseball beyond just a series against a team that played really hot down the stretch, but for the first like 100 games this season, really just didn't do diddly squat. 216-474-0092. As we get started on today's show, we are going to pivot back to the Browns in a moment here. So Josh and Grand River, stick there. I'm still asking the question, what did Saturday's win and Sunday's loss signal to you about the Guardians and Browns? But are you buying into the Guardians as a World Series contender? Today can prove that and go a long way to proving that for me. And when we come back, there is maybe not getting why you lost. And then there's Greg Newsom showing the Browns and Browns fans that the Browns really don't know how screwed they are. 92.3 The Fan.